Hey, I'm Alex Starr, and this is the podcast that connects you with people from around the world that have fresh ideas, concepts, or inspiring stories. We are in a unique place and time that has never been seen before, with billions of people now able to communicate and share information across the globe. Be a part of the movement in rising together to create the world we want. I'm glad you're listening. Pull up a seat and let's get started.
All the experts are agreed that in each of us, there are deep reservoirs of ability, even genius, that we habitually fail to use. Why? We know that most people desire by nature to succeed. But what is success? What is this word that has become so famous in the world? What does it mean? Most people don't know what success is all about. And since they don't know what it's about, they really don't know where to look for it. Success is really nothing more than the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. This means that any person who knows what he's doing and where he's going is a success. Any person with a goal toward which he's working is a successful person. This means that the boy in high school who's working toward a diploma, or the boy in college toward a degree, is just as successful as any human being on earth because he knows what he's doing, why he's getting up in the morning, and where he's going. But conversely, if a person doesn't know what he's working toward, what it is he wants, doesn't have a goal toward which he's working, then he must, at least by this definition, be called unsuccessful. Why isn't then, with this simple definition, why isn't everyone successful? Should be easy. Yet surveys indicate that 19 out of 20, 95% at least, are not. In fact, a survey one time asked thousands of working men why they got up in the morning and went to work, and 19 out of 20 didn't know. 19 out of 20 working people didn't have the foggiest notion of why they got up in the morning and went to work. Under closer questioning, they said, well, everybody works. Well, that would be a good reason to quit. In fact, here's a little rule of thumb you might want to remember. Whatever the great majority is doing under any given circumstance, if you do exactly the opposite, you'll probably never make another mistake as long as you live. Just something to keep in the back of your mind. The problem with most people is that they're playing the world's most unrewarding game, and the name of the game is Follow the Follower.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to Pull Up a Seat with Alex Starr. That was a short little clip you just heard from Earl Nightingale in 1956, which I thought pertained to what I'm hearing lately in the world from my peers and from my friends about what to do with our lives. This is including myself because I have no idea what I'm doing in 6 months. And I recently made a road trip down here to Nogales, Arizona, where I'm working. Had a long drive, so I called some people I haven't talked to in a while, and I'm hearing the same thing. Uncertainty about the future, uncertainty about relationships, uncertainty about jobs, uncertainty about where to move next, uncertainty, uncertainty, uncertainty. Good news! Everybody's uncertain. No one knows what the fuck is going on. Nobody. Presidents don't know what's going on. Senators don't know what's going on. CEOs don't know what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on. This world is a mystery. Tomorrow is a mystery, and it is cliche as hell. Next year is a mystery. Nobody knows what's going on. Maybe aliens know what's going on. Interdimensional beings when you smoke too much DMT, the Illuminati, maybe they know what's going on. But everybody else, nobody knows what's going on. Every single person is unsure of what is going on and what is going to happen in the future. That's fantastic news because that means that nobody's alone. We're not alone. Everyone's thinking the same thing. I just had dinner last night with two doctors that live in the room next to me in this house that I'm staying in. And they're in their seventh year of medical school and they're not sure what they're going to do because they don't know where they're going to move next. They don't know exactly what they're going to specialize in. They're not sure what hospital they're going to go to. They're not sure if they might get sick of being a doctor. And these are people who have devoted 7 years of their life and they were sure of that. So it's always changing. It's always moving. But I think that by anybody who's listening to podcasts, so if you're listening to this, I assume you listen to other podcasts. Maybe you read books. Maybe you listen to certain types of music. And I'm guessing that the reason you do that is because you want to be a better person. Everyone wants to be a better person. Everyone wants to evolve, develop, grow, create a different world and a different person every day that's at least a little tiny bit better than the one before. And that means that we're all successful already, right now. I'm talking right now as you're listening to this, you're already successful. You already have it going on because you're probably not in prison. Maybe you are in prison, but maybe you're going to get out soon. I mean, you're being successful right now by just sitting there wherever you are or walking, whatever it is you're doing right now while you're listening to this, you're being successful, which is a really cool way of thinking about it. And I hope that by... Damn it. Fuck. Whatever, I'm going to still go on. I didn't like the way that was going, but I'm just going to post this anyway. Anyway, I have Derek Flansreich on today, who is the CEO and founder of Greatest.com. He got into fitness in a major way when he was 23 and got six-pack abs and hated it. He realized that he wanted to create a company that brought balance and realistic expectations to health and fitness. So we started Greatest.com. That's G-R-E-A-T-I-S-T, like a great artist, those two words combined. It now gets 10 million hits a month. And he is creating something that allows a free flow of information brought to the people in a very interesting format. And he goes deep in this episode, talks about difficulties in staying true to himself in spite of expectations imposed upon him and what he does to keep true to himself. And he also talks about what the most important thing to do is before starting or improving on any project. So I'm super excited for you guys to hear that. A big shout out to my buddy Adam Gold, who got me connected with Derek and was able to get this accomplished. I'm going to apologize real quick for the Wi-Fi connection. I was in Antigua, Guatemala. Derek was in New York, and I have no control over that whatsoever. And I'm really curious, when I was thinking about this intro, what I was going to say, I realized that I was going to apologize for the Wi-Fi connection, which means I'm apologizing for ones and zeros being transmitted invisibly around me that I can't see, compiling a video pixelation that is compiled into a video that I see that resembles a human form. And if you were to go back 100 years and tell someone that a realistic apology 100 years in the future was a person apologizing to people on a podcast that they can listen to anywhere, and he's apologizing for these invisible ones and zeros being transmitted to satellites that compile a video on this glass screen where you can see other people, they'd think you're insane. And then I started to wonder, what will we be apologizing for in 100 years from now, if that's the difference in the past 100? So, anyway, I hope you listen. That's enough of my rant. Leave me a comment, subscribe to iTunes, all that good stuff. Enjoy the show. I'll see you guys on the next one.
Welcome to Pull Up a Seat with your host, Alex Starr.
Yo, I appreciate you coming on, man. And I heard you on Mike Dillard's show.
Yeah.
And that was a little more business oriented, but I'm super stoked to hear about how you're 28, I'm 27, and how the internet is now using, and Greatest, your website, is utilizing kind of these new mediums for everyone to create the foundation that they want for health, you know? Which I think is the coolest part. And your story, where you started, where you said you used to have six-pack abs and it sucked, and you didn't like having the six-pack abs. Was there a point where you hit a threshold where you're like, dude, you woke up one morning and thought, I really don't want to eat this brown rice and chicken again. I'm going to just live a more balanced lifestyle. Was there an exact moment for that?
Well, are we on or like, should I be expecting that we are like recording here?
We are recording. Yeah.
Okay. You didn't get that. Perfect. It's always good to know. Yeah. So I did the six-pack abs in 6 weeks as a challenge, right? Mm-hmm. And it was only for 6 weeks. And that's what it said on all the magazine covers. And then sure. The general setup for me was that I felt like I'd seen it on every single magazine cover growing up, but I'd never actually met anyone who'd really gotten six-pack abs in 6 weeks. I didn't really know that many people who had six-pack abs and didn't, always have them in my mind.
Sure.
And as, the big kid growing up in the class, I wondered whether it was really possible to achieve that. And, I figured out and I'm much better, about my health and wellness and have been, since I sort of started figuring it out. But I definitely am probably would be classified as a relatively healthy person who's imperfect. And I'm a pretty big guy. So I was definitely on the heavier side of average, but not heavy.
Sure.
Before I decided to do it. And when I did it, I worked with a trainer, checked in with doctors. I did everything right. And it basically didn't do anything crazy. I mean, it was seven workouts a week. A couple of them heavy weight and most of them sort of boring cardio, steady state cardio. And then I ate on a severely calorie restricted diet, but I didn't have any weird rules. I really basically ate chicken and rice, right? And vegetables.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I did it. I mean, I definitely accomplished six-pack abs in 6 weeks, but the story is that I just hated it. I hated the whole process. I was super hangry all the time. And most importantly, for me, the joys in life of some guacamole and chips and spending time with my friends, in the evenings over some drinks, those are things that not everyone loves, but that I really enjoy.
Sure.
And for me, it wasn't the right thing. Now, does that mean that if I were to get six-pack abs over a couple years and learn to build that habit into my life, then maybe I have anything against that? Absolutely not. But greatest and my personal vision about health and really the mission that I want to share with the world has always been about what's good for you. That's literally what we say at the top of greatest.
But, yeah.
It's all about not what you're doing, but why. And I do think it differs for everyone. That isn't sort of a you do whatever you want. It's what's good for you, so it has to really be good. But that means there's no actual, I believe basically there's no judgment that should be passed on a cupcake. Maybe you love cupcakes. I don't love cupcakes. If I'm eating a cupcake, that's not a good thing for me. But I just don't like them, right? If I am eating a delicious cinnamon bun, which I'm a big fan of cinnamon buns.
Who's not?
Right? And I mean, I don't know why anyone wouldn't be. But as long as I'm eating it because I'm enjoying this, there's a choice I'm making. That could be a really good thing. It can help sort of, introduce a ritual and feel the real joy of terrifically well-made food and, enjoy this indulgence. A lot of that was put to the extreme test during the six-pack abs in 6 weeks.
Right.
And the minute it was done, frankly, I went straight to Shake Shack and ate a burger and ice cream and felt so terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
terrible.
Well, I heard on the other podcast too, you said thinking about getting healthy in a healthier way. And I think that nails it right on the head.
Yeah,
I mean, and I totally. Think it all comes back to how you were just saying, it's got to be about balance. It's not eating shakes and burgers every day, but it's not eating broccoli and brown rice and incorporating not what the health magazines tell, because they're trying to make money, man. The magazines are just trying to put out whatever works that's going to kind of fit to the most amount of people, right?
Yep.
And it doesn't fit what you're going to do. It doesn't fit for me. Maybe you're an alcoholic and you shouldn't drink any alcohol. And the magazines are saying, no, have one glass of red wine at night, but that doesn't work for everybody, obviously, Same
That's
thing
right.
for sugar, same thing for anything. So I think taking that, what you guys are doing at greatest.com and making that just a healthier, more just cohesive way of looking at it, a balanced way of looking at it.
Yeah. Well, and the reason is not because I am just an altruistic, I like to think I want to, you know, I do genuinely want to make a huge difference in the world to help. I believe that that's how you actually build great long-term, like, businesses and brands, is by building for the long-term. And so I actually think that all these magazines, and frankly, most things in health and wellness for the last, you know, since health and wellness became a thing, have been successful, like, doing it. It's just been easy to do it the easy way. And humans, and, you know, at least I know from my experience, like, I've tried it. Everything. Like, I've tried so many dumb things. Like, it's terrible, dumb mistakes I've made in terms of things I've purchased, or, like, random pills I've taken, or, like, we as humans, we want shortcuts. Of course we want shortcuts. Half our way to this, half our way to that. And it's so easy to sell that because people want this stuff so badly. But my bet on the future is that millennials in particular, and sort of just the whole spirit around, like, health and wellness is changing. When people think about health, they're actually looking for something greater, something that doesn't talk about health and fitness being the point, but more about it just being like this part of living a healthier, longer, happier life. I felt growing up like something like that didn't exist, that everyone was just trying to sell me something or sell me a miracle pill or, you know, telling me information that wasn't true so I would click a little.
Sure.
Like, and I was so frustrated. Because I felt like if somebody actually built something that was done the right way, that could be many times more successful and last longer in a way that would really truly help people as compared to these other, you know, whether it's traditional media magazines or TV shows or, you know, some of these influencers.
For sure, man. And I mean, the process is the goal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to, is instead of just trying to attain thinking. Because that's what our system kind of sets that up, where once you get the abs, yeah. Well, of course you're going to be happy once you have your six-pack abs, Derek, you know?
Right.
Look at the people in the magazines on TV. Right. Yeah. They look happy. So once you get that, you're going to be happy, man. Right. Once you get your
beard. And then
when
you learn, the dream. But, you know, once you learn, right, once you learn that that's all totally fucking bullshit, like, then the eyes open, right? Like, how many people, if you were to ask them, like, if you were to ask them, how does that person on the cover of Men's Health feel? Most people would see they feel great because they look great. But
right.
Most people don't know that they've actually dehydrated for 48 hours. But they don't actually remotely look like that unless it's for a photo shoot. And that they are professionals doing that for the most part, or heavily photoshopped afterwards. Like, to look a certain way and to mess with our, like, the way we think about body image ideals. And I think it's changing, right? I mean, there's a big backlash to this. And so the reason is because I think basically millennials are skeptical and tired of the bullshit.
And we have the internet now.
And we know too much, you know?
Exactly.
We know too much. And that's great, because I think what it actually does, it opens up a window of opportunity. Like, a window of opportunity to build great brands who actually care, that will actually succeed, because people know they're not just trying to, like, swindle them into, you know, another year-long subscription, right? Or guilt them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's been, like, the space has been typified sort of by making people feel worse about themselves instead of better. The most successful TV show on this topic ever is called The Biggest Loser. Like, which is only clever if you hate yourself.
Right.
Like, there's no other way that's clever. It's terrible. Like, it's a terrible thing. And the show doesn't work. It ruins these people's lives. And they all weigh a game back. I mean, it's like, some of this stuff is so unreal, almost.
Right.
That it's embarrassing that, like, people have been able to get away with it.
Yeah, well, you're not going to buy anything if you feel great about yourself.
I disagree.
I don't think you're not going to buy as much. I think, like you said, the way that you make people feel worse about themselves and then try and fix it by buying things or doing things that maybe they didn't even want in the first place.
Yeah, well, say that it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you tell people you're not good enough, but if you have this product, you'll get there, and you keep telling people they're not good enough, they'll keep looking for products that help them get there.
Sure.
I think that's how it's been. However, there's a reason that these traditional magazines are not doing as great as they used to. And it's not just because there's digital now and there's more information. By the way, most of those magazines have made the leap quite well, frankly. They're just bringing more of their message, you know, on the internet. Took them a little while, but now I would say they're relatively there. The truth, I think, is that millennials in particular are tired of being told they're not good enough and want to believe instead, and good for them, right, that they are good enough and that it's not about not being something, but it's actually working to improve and just get better, to head in the right direction. And that I think is frankly the most important message of all, right?
Totally, yeah.
I mean, that's my mission in life, to help people think about them that way. And greatest mission is the same, right? But that's what I think, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And how does, when you use greatest, which is, did you mean to incorporate, because I see it as greatest and then artist combined. Did you mean to do that? Or is that just the way that it kind of, the word worked? Because I think it's kind of cool, actually, if you're trying to create, you're like the artist of yourself and to be the greatest, and you're a great artist. I don't know. I thought that was kind of a cool play on words.
Yeah, I love that. It's actually the example I use a lot. I mean, roughly, it's like an artist works on art and a greatest works on being great. It doesn't have to be maybe it's an artist of your own life in some ways.
Yeah.
I love that. But I guess all it is supposed to be, right? What it's supposed to be is like, there's never been an identity for someone who's between the couch potato and the perfect flawless athlete. And that is crazy to me. Like, it's crazy that there's no identity, no lifestyle, no thing somewhere that's in between.
Sure.
And so that's what greatest is supposed to be. Greatest is supposed to be for people who know, sort of acknowledge, they don't have to be the greatest, but they want to improve and get better, to just keep getting greater.
Sure.
And they understand what you said earlier, the process, right? Like, I use it as the journey, right? Like, that it's a journey with no end point. And that's not a thing you can sell for $99, you know? But it is the truth. And I think millennials, more than anyone else, get that shit. You know?
You're right. We do get that shit, man. Because like you said, if you put on greatest, if you put on some article, I don't know, talking about how abs are going to do this or that's going to do that. People, it's so easy to call bullshit now, that it's so easy. Our lie detectors are so finely tuned compared to our parents, that it's just, greatest put on this website, but this is bullshit. Now, here's why it's bullshit, because I just looked it up on Google, and now
that's
have nothing.
Right. And,
you know?
And frankly, we're also sick of and tired of this not working. Like, that's the other part of this, is that we all grew up with parents who are not healthy.
Right, right.
Who didn't know, who tried all the same things, but it didn't succeed, right? Like, our parents grew up being told that fat was bad and and carbs were fine, basically, right? And that sugar is great, right? Fine replacement for fat, you know? They've been misinformed, and the products they bought have been unsuccessful, and obesity has never been worse.
Right.
Right? Up until a few years ago. Still not getting much better, but in some areas it's getting better. So we've seen it firsthand. We're seeing our parents and generations in the past struggle with diabetes, struggle with obesity in unprecedented levels. And we're thinking to ourselves, again, because maybe we know too much, well, clearly that whatever they're on is not working,
right,
you know?
Exactly.
So we need to dig deeper, which was my personal journey too, right? A feeling like none of this stuff was really helping me. Every Google search that I did, every magazine that I opened, every TV show that I turned on wasn't helping. Let me start reading, because I'm crazy, all these scientific studies in PubMed, right? Peer approved scientific journal studies, so I can actually learn what's true and what's not. And then I thought, no one should have to go through this, because this stuff is boring,
yeah,
right? And how do we share this true information in a way that's really compelling?
God, and that's the beauty of the internet, isn't it, man? Taking these things and giving it in bite-sized pieces so that we can all read it and just take the essential knowledge from all these scientific journals. Just say, hey, eat more, healthy fats. You know, instead of reading all 10 pages as why and reading the introduction, hypothesis, and conclusion, you know, just, oh man, I read this article on Greatest and talked about this is why I should eat more healthy fats, why avocados are so great. You know, and it just condenses this beautiful information that is so helpful and just pop it out there to people super easy.
Yep. I mean, that's basically right.
It's unbelievable. That's the beauty of the internet, you know? It's the beauty of your site.
And, you know, I think, you know, that what we're trying to do with Greatest, right, is to create a brand people love and trust in a space that I think people need one badly, and that helps shape their mindset around health. That, like you said, and you know, is a line that I say all the time, is help people think of health in this healthier way. They're starting to get there, like help push them in the right direction. The way we do that today, and won't be the only way we do it in the future, is through content. We have content that is science-backed and expert-approved, and like what we call unreasonably great. Like there's no real reason every fact should be cited by a scientific study. There's no genuine reason why every article needs to be approved by at least two experts if it needs it, other than we think that's the way it should be done. But that's like the table stakes.
Yeah.
We think millennials are like, of course it should be legit. What the key to what we do is that then we shape all that stuff, and then we tell the story in a way that's authentic and personable and realistic and actionable. It's just real, man. Like that's what's been missing in the space, is someone being like, I can tell you how many articles that say, you know, drinking is bad for you, like, and so don't think about drinking. And it's like an unreal thing, because I don't know, like, even saying binge drinking is bad is crazy. Most people I know, I haven't met a guy in my life who hasn't binge drank, you know, a couple of times, right? So, like, but who are we kidding, right? There are times when people do that, right?
Yeah.
And so telling the story of, like, don't do it, you're an idiot, is pointless. Instead, it should be like, look, if you're going to go out drinking, here's what you should be thinking about. Here's how to, like, alternate with water. Here's how to, like, what you should eat beforehand.
Or to
here's
get
how
rid of your hangover.
Next morning.
Yeah.
And or, like, don't worry so much about it. Like, be safe. Be careful. Like, obviously, there are real problems if you take it too seriously. Like, so don't go too far off the deep end. But, like, here's what you should be thinking about. And enjoy yourself. Like, just don't do it too often. Like, that story is so crucial, right? It's like, who's going to write the story on Molly that says, like, okay, so if you're on Molly or doing Molly, here's what you should be thinking about.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Who's going to write that story? Most people are just writing, like, don't do Molly, you idiots. Like, it's just a refined, you know, a form of E, right?
Yeah.
But that's not helpful, basically.
Right.
Because people are like, what is that? And when I'm on it, or, like, what should I do? Hearing something as simple as, like, make sure you're drinking enough water.
Yeah.
Like, because people don't die from Molly. Typically, they die from dehydration.
Right.
It's, like, very helpful if you're, like, doing Molly sometime.
Yeah.
From no actually personal experience, other than I love the fact that we're covering this shit, you know?
Yeah. That last part you just said broke up the last like 10 seconds. You say that you're glad they're talking about this?
I just was saying that I'd be mad. That's basically. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, man, it's kind of like preaching abstinence and then surprised when babies still keep popping out. That, yeah, you know, right. That kind of mindset, right. You know?
Yeah. Like, see, what's the best way to prevent? Right. It's like abstinence, but it's like a ridiculous thing. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really actually a nice way of putting it.
Thanks. When you were first starting Greatest, and you were taking all these scientific journals and you were thinking, God, there needs to be something real and authentic out on the internet for health and fitness. How did you go from that to just, did you kind of start a blog of it first? Was Greatest initially just your blog? And then from there it grew into what it is today over the past few years? Or how did that come about?
Yeah, so Greatest started, so I was frustrated with this space and became a really big, like, personal, it became like a personal hobby on the side for me, frankly. And then I started organizations my whole life, you know, in middle school and high school and college. I started these things like school groups and media productions, and then, like, you know, an online political forum, a newsletter, and then like a TV show online. I just starting things.
Okay, nice, nice.
And I just kind of loved creating stuff that like added something new to the community that didn't exist, that, you know, were well branded, that helped like the community grow, and that were sustainable. And I just kind of fell in love with doing that and sort of gave up on trying to do anything else. And so when I graduated, I knew I wanted to start my own thing. I joined a startup, you know, believing I needed to get experience first out in San Francisco. Worked at a company called Clicker that sold 6 months later to CBS for $110 million, reportedly around there. And so I just was like there for the ride. I made no part of it. I was just there. I don't think I helped them at all. I just literally was there. But it was a really sort of eye-opening experience. One, because it was really successful, so I got to see that part of it. And two, because I basically thought it could be more successful. And I was really struck by that notion. Why? How could it have been more successful? And to me, it really came down to the vision and the culture. And I basically, that kind of prompted me to ditch every idea I had for something I wasn't extraordinarily passionate about.
Sure.
And wasn't like the culture I wanted to build. And so for me, it came back to health. And I just was like, I don't know how to build the defining healthy living brand and business for this generation, but I'm going to try.
Nice.
And, and so I convinced a bunch of friends of mine to write for free. It was never just me doing it, but it definitely was a blog roughly when we started, with a blog with big ambitions. and we, you know, we had a couple writers, everyone was contributing for free. And then as it started to pick up some steam when we launched, I moved to New York, hired a few people, and, you know, 5 years later, we, you know, reached nearly 12 million unique visitors a month, won a couple Webby Awards for, you know, nearly profitable. We were profitable most of last year. We raised some funding, you know, so, you know, I'd like to think we're just at the beginning, but it's been a wild ride. We turned 5 years old in April. So
congrats, man. Happy birthday.
Yeah, man. Thanks. We live.
Yeah, that's great. 12 million unique visitors a month. What, unique, does that mean they're new? Well, or what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, yeah. Unique means people, like different people in theory. Okay. It's kind of like the best metric we've got in a world of bad metrics.
Okay, exactly, yeah. That's unbelievable. 12 million visitors a month. That's pretty impressive, man. That's great. And it's all people coming to check out health and fitness, right? That's obviously a sign that it's something important to people.
Yeah, I think that's true. I believe people have been aching for a brand and a business they could trust in this space. And again, I hope we're just the beginning of like providing that for them. You know?
Yeah, man. No, and I like the concept, which is kind of why I like doing these podcasts. Is I like the concept of authenticity, whether it's relating to health or conversations or what have you. And putting stuff out about drugs or putting stuff out about being realistic about what life is and how people are going to react to it instead of acting like these things don't exist. Or, you know, I love that concept of what you're creating probably the most. Oh, you froze a little bit.
Thanks, man.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I'm so glad it resonated. I was just saying that I'm just trying to build a brand and business that I wanted to. And I'm glad I resonate with other people, basically.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. No, it's great stuff. So I got three questions to kind of finish it off here, and it's three questions I ask every guest I have on. Okay?
Yeah.
You ready?
I'm so ready.
All right, man. The first one is, what's your biggest insecurity about yourself today that you still have?
Yeah. Well, so the probably the classic answer is like the imposter syndrome, right? I'm the youngest person now on our executive team, I believe. Everyone who reports to me is older than me and has more kids than me, and I have zero. and it is both exhilarating and exciting to have people report to me who know way more than me about everything.
Sure.
Or at least the things that they're focused on. But it's also intimidating, you know, and humbling. So I think that's probably the classic CEO answer.
It is. Yeah,
I think probably that's a cop out because it's so sort of kind of everyone struggles with it. I think my big thing is about being authentic. I think it's so important. I realized halfway into this journey, 2.5 years in, that a really profound thing, I think, that basically, like, if I worked on me, my business was better. And I used to think that if I could work on me, once my business was better.
Right, right.
And it took me a long time to figure that out. I had to go away on vacation.
I heard you say that, man. You take a week off every 6 months, right?
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, shit, I love this. I'm going to do this every 6 months.
Yeah.
But the first time I went helped really, like, set me on that path. And me working on bettering myself and just being more true to who I am is a real struggle for me. And I think I've come a long way, but it's hard because so much of my life has been about trying to fit a certain role or fit a certain expectation around, like, what a leader is and what, like, a CEO now is. But that it's hard for me to even answer sometimes what I really want, because I'm always thinking about, like, what do people expect of me? And anyway, I don't know what that is other than to say that, like, true, authentic, like really being present, like, that takes a lot of work, and I'm working on it.
Great, man. Yeah. That stuff everyone struggles with, right? Being able to, yeah, separate what you actually want versus what people are expecting you to do. I think that just cuts right to the core of it. So besides going away on vacation for a week every 6 months, which is really important too, what other tactic do you use on a day-to-day basis? If you're feeling a setback or a failure, or you're feeling those kind of demons come in, what's a tactic you use to overcome?
I feel like it's a broken record because everyone says it now, but for sure meditation. I mean, meditation has been huge. Meditation and breathing. I started meditating a couple years ago when I hurt my back, and it's like one of the best things that I did. I meditate every morning now. I don't do anything weird and crazy. I do 5 minutes of breathing work, and then this year I amped it up to 8 minutes. My goal is to get it up to 20 minutes. But it's huge. Like, it's unreal, actually. I try not to be a crazy, like, meditation convert, but I am. Like, I super am.
And I see it in your eyes, man.
It's super hard to communicate the extraordinary effect it has. And it's like literally my whole day is different, you know, if I meditate than when I don't. Everything moves a little crisper and clean.
And do you use that? Do you do that in the middle of the day?
And then, you know.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't, you know, if I'm struggling a little, if I'm having a tough day or there's a big thing coming up and I'm a little, you know, feeling like, you know, I need to kind of build up to it, I'll definitely, like, steal into a room and breathe a bit, you know.
Oh, really?
And sort of find center. Absolutely. Yeah. Even in meetings, sometimes I'll be sitting there and I'll be like, you know, like, I take more pauses and there's more, like, silence, I think, and sort of enjoy. I can enjoy that, like, relish that and the power of that a little more. Anyway, that, yeah. So what else do I do? I think eating better and working out helps it a ton. I find some foods, like, it's crazy to me, but, like, if things are really high in sugar, and I actually love sugar, but, like, when I eat sugar, I basically am like, there goes the day. Like, for some reason, it, like, kind of fogs my mind. I'm just not as, like, crisp and clean.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to think of what you're putting in your body, right? Affecting you, but it clearly does.
Yeah. Oh, completely, man. Yeah. And that it can have such longing effects too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, you kind of, yeah, you are what you eat, which it sounds cliche, but whatever, it's true. So the last question is, what book?
Yeah, cliche, and it's like, the problem with you are what you eat is, the problem with you are what you eat is that it's, like, not good advice. Like, it's true, maybe, but it's not, like, actionable. It's, like, okay, great. But then what should I eat?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that's where health websites like yours kind of come into play a little better. Because there's almost, the other thing too, there's almost so much information out there now that it's hard to eat this, not that, do paleo, do intermittent fasting, you know, eat vegan, don't eat vegan, have a little bit of meat, you know, eat chicken, you should probably eat more fish. Don't eat too much fish because there's mercury in fish. I mean, it's just, and you just get this mind overload, man, and you don't know, oh, okay, fuck it, I'm just going to go eat a cheeseburger.
Yeah, which is why, by the way, you turn to brands and influencers, ideally like Greatest, to help, you know, point you in the way and in the right direction. The problem is that there aren't good ones.
Yeah,
and you're turning to Jillian, you know, or you're turning to somebody else.
Right, exactly. Or ones with ulterior motives, right? That play off as that they're trying to give good information. Yeah. Yeah, so, I agree. The last question I have for you is what book has had the biggest impact on your life? It's kind of a random question, but what book have you read that just, you know, changed your whole kind of outlook the minute that you put it down?
Yeah, so the one that I loved is the culture book that the head of Pixar put out recently. I'm just trying to think of like what is my favorite recent one. I'm forgetting the name, but I'll remember it. It's called Creativity Inc.
Creativity Inc.
Yeah. It is by Ed Catmull, and it's about like how like Pixar's like machine works, how you can like create a machine to like drive great creativity and innovation. It's great. It came out, I don't know, 2 years ago or a year ago or something like that. That's like a must read, I think, for anyone who's actively thinking about business building. That's new. More older book, it's called Building a Company. It's about Roy Disney. So I'm like a really huge Disney fan. Walt Disney, like the history of Disney.
Yeah.
And I like the parks too, but like, and I go actually every year to Disney World with my brother. But I'm like a history, like Disney is like an amazing company. It's a stunning example of a company that has used technology and like cutting edge digital innovation to stay on top of trends instead of fall behind them, and like done it through terrific storytelling and like ballsy business moves. And like epic tentpole thinking. Like, it's just an amazing company. And a lot of that stems from the original founder, Walt Disney, who was a character, but a visionary.
Yeah.
His brother, so Walt, and his old, slightly older brother, Roy, really built Disney. And his brother was like the money man. You know, he would like basically find a way to make it work. And he ran the business. And this guy, Bob Thomas, who's this biographer, wrote a book on Walt Disney, which is terrific. And then he wrote it from like the perspective of his brother, and it's called Building a Company, and it's fascinating. It's like so great. Anyway, those are two books that come to mind. But most of my time I read fantasy books.
Do you?
Fantasy inside.
Like which ones?
Oh my God. The best freaking books are the Patrick Rothfuss novels. Patrick Rothfuss is like unreal good. He wrote these books called Name of the Wind, Wise Man's Fear, and there's a third book coming out. And there's like, that's going to be the next big thing.
You're stoked.
It's like the next Game of Thrones. It's like, so, I didn't even like Game of Thrones, the books as much. Patrick Rothfuss, man, he's really good. I like actually stepping away, frankly, from business when I'm reading.
Yeah, I would imagine, man. Yeah, well, when you mentioned those first two, it's like, okay, well, I can see those would be really inspirational for someone like you in your position. But yeah, I could also see taking that step back and being able to get out of your world a little bit too, right?
Yeah.
Dragons, absolutely. Shit, escape castles and everything.
It's like my favorite. Those are like all my favorite things.
Yeah. That's why I like Disney World so much, man. That stuff is cool.
Yeah, I think I'm a big kid. Like, I love that stuff. I love sort of, sometimes I joke, it's like manufactured entertainment. But I love the suspension of like disbelief. because I think the suspension of disbelief leads to like your brain and your like your thoughts and ideas being connected in interesting creative ways. Uh-huh. Like in some ways, I would argue no ideas are new. They're just like applications of like old ideas in new settings. And so not to get too like philosophical,
no,
but
that's
I think
awesome.
That, like,
yeah. Yeah,
I think that like fantasy and sci-fi, especially sci-fi, my favorite author of all time is Ray Bradbury, like helps like connect things in a new, very powerful and exciting way.
Bradbury's Fahrenheit, right?
Yeah, Fahrenheit 451. Okay. Actually, one of my least favorite things that he's done. My favorite stuff that he's done is the short stories.
Okay.
He has like, which is actually Fahrenheit 451 was originally a short story. But most people grow up and they read Fahrenheit 451, which is just a really long-ass version of a very good short story. His other short stories are like unreal great.
Really? See, I didn't even know he had other ones. Fahrenheit's the only book I've ever read of his.
Yeah. Well, I think you should go and read.
Just,
I think you should go and read some of his stuff.
Okay. Will do, man. Well, shoot, Derek, it's been awesome, man. I appreciate you taking the time to come on here. Greatest.com, G-R-E-A-T-I-S-T. How else do people find you? I'm at Twitter, all the social media, the norms. How do people find you and your site and get in touch with the health?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Pinterest and Facebook are like, you know, the places to find us. Subscribe to our email newsletter. And I'm personally like so easy to reach out to. I'm just Derek at Greatest. My Twitter handle is The Derek, which when I say out loud sounds really douchey, but I didn't realize that until I got it and thought I was so smart and clever. But I'm really easy to reach out to. And I love hearing from anyone who's trying to build great stuff.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming on, man. It was great. I love hearing your story about authentic health and everything. And keep doing what you're doing. Looking forward to seeing what else you guys put up with. And if I get out to New York soon, we'll go out. But, you know, we won't.
Absolutely.
And if we get too drunk, then we can look up on your site how to cure our hangover.
That's right. That's right. We won't take it too seriously.
Exactly.
And then we'll make up for it the next morning.
Exactly.
Cool, thanks, Derek. Man. Appreciate the chat. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
Yeah. Peace. Bye.